Welcome to The Shared Desk, episode 57. Just trying to mix it up and talk over the music.
That's your thing now, isn't it?
It's my thing.
Okay, fair enough. I am the last person to...
To forbid you
of your thing. Hi, it's The Shared Desk, and I am your host, T. Morris.
My old lady, she didn't just break my heart. She rip it out. She tear it apart. She step on that shit, feed it to a dog. I mean, she was ruthless. She brought the pain.
She always brings the pain.
I do.
You do. What's your name, baby?
I'm Pip Valentine.
Yeah, I knew something was up, but I didn't really get it until I saw a magazine with Idris Elba on the cover and the phrase, big piece of yum, popped into my head. I'm mildly afraid of heights, but I would not hesitate to climb that mountain.
What was that from? What's that from?
iZombie.
Oh.
I just finished season one of iZombie. Oh. Absolutely loved it.
Well, I would watch that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. I'm sure you would. You know, we watched a lot of stuff over the weekend. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff over the
weekend. Spoilers! Oh, don't make me cry. Stop it. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Anybody else get traumatized over the weekend? You know it's an emotional Game of Thrones when you've got to watch Penny Dreadful to cheer your ass up.
I know.
Wow.
And it was slightly cheering.
It was uplifting. Penny Dreadful was uplifting.
Sort of.
And Game of Thrones was... Game of Thrones has been relentlessly good this season.
It has been astounding. It has been... I think having to stick to the source material for the last... The 4 and 5 kind of slowed it down. And it feels like a weight has been lifted off it. And it's now... soaring, and we're getting answers to things. I'm almost giddy.
I have finding out
answers to things that have been literally 20 years in the making.
I have been describing season 6 of Game of Thrones as cross the waste, the desert wastelands that is season 5,
uh-huh.
where a lot of people just said, tapping out, I'm done.
Yeah.
Cross the wastelands of...
And
you will be rewarded in the promised land of season 6.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah, practically every episode has had like a, oh, that explains that thing.
Well, normally in this part of the show, we talk about what we've been doing, but as you all know, it's been The Ghost Rebellion, which is now out in digital.
For
all those Kickstarter
backers.
So
if you're a backer and you're like, I haven't had that... check your email.
That's right. Yep. Our backers are lovely, lovely backers.
Welcome to level 7.
Level 7.
Sorry, that corner was really dark and I couldn't help myself. I think there's a bulb out.
And we love our backers. They've got their copies. People are starting to read them.
And I have ordered a bucket ton, a dragon-sized dump load.
How many books again?
Altogether around 300 books are going to be landing on our...
I'm touching myself tonight.
Yeah. Well, that's good because you're going to be picking them up because I'll screw up my back. So I've got the envelopes. I've got the stickers. I'm ready to go. I hope your signing hand is strong.
So we're good, right?
So we're good. Yeah, we should be.
Is your pimp hand strong?
I think my pimp hand is strong. So that's what we've been up to. We're keeping it short because we got a jam packed show.
Yeah,
we got to
fit a lot of stuff in, including.
We got not one but two.
Loot crates
to go over, and we're even going to video.
So I just want to cut the crap and get to that.
I know. You've been itching to get into those things, aren't you?
They've been sitting on the table all day, and I was like, this is how much I love you, baby.
But we're going to video it. We're going to try to put it on YouTube just for, you know, chicks and giggles. Why not?
You got something else on the table.
Yes. Oh, and we also have, not only do we have voicemail, we have got comments from the blog.
What have we done to deserve so much love?
I can tell you what it is. It's called consistency.
Consistency finally pays off.
We've been really consistent with the show.
Black belt, baby.
Let's not get cocky. we make it through an entire year and maybe even pick up a Parsec Award that's over at ParsecAwards.com. Or a Parsec nomination. Parsec nomination.
That's not happening.
And then we'll talk about it. So
count on it.
Actually, we are what the topic of this show is centered around the spirit animal of the shared desk, Chuck Wendig.
You magnificent bastard, I read your book.
Yes, we did read his book.
Yes, we've read several of Chuck's books,
that magnificent bastard. He posted this this week actually on Facebook.
Are you gonna beep out his
I'm gonna make it PG-13 at least.
Okay, well it's so can you are you doing a Chuck impersonation?
No. I'm just going to go ahead and just read it out.
Because I don't know what he sounds like.
Not yet. My Facebook got hella effing clogged up because way back when I sucked in the Kool-Aid, that was, you need social media to be a writer, which is not untrue, but also isn't exactly true either. Facebook in particular does little for the author person. But at the time, I mostly just accepted any Yahoo who wanted my ear. And when I became more discerning, I set up the rule that you had to have like 5 or 10 mutual friends. But you come to discover that really most of the people in your feed, or his feed, in my feed, I don't know. Regular commenters, I do know, but there's an unseen bulwark of total effing randos in there just waiting under the surface, and they come out sometimes. That's when I wish I had some Jaws drop-ins.
Yeah, sorry, I'm your drop-in.
Yeah, there we go. I'm your drop-in. And they come out sometimes, and they're disagreeable, and once I thought, okay, I need to respectfully engage and be the adult here, and no, I don't need to do that. What the hell was I thinking? I can just say goodbye to strangers who don't lend value to my life. And it's really quite freeing. There's some pushback against this sort of thing that I see where it's like, we're so sensitive now, we just unfriend people who disagree with us. Or we are creating echo chambers of information. I think that's horseshit somewhat. I think if we do this to our friends and acquaintances, okay, maybe that's an issue. But it's not my job to let strangers into my kitchen just so they can shit on the floor in the name of fair and balanced opinion coverage. I don't owe your oxygen my lung space. Not you, but the universal you. It's funny because this opinion seems to have really bloomed in the area of social media, something we're going to be talking about. That we all just need to sit down and accept everyone else's opinion because I guess we're all subject to some unspoken equal time rule. But before social media, if you went into a room and people were just talking about crap you didn't like, you didn't have to stick around. You could just be like, oh, this is a room full of disagreeable a-holes. And then you could walk out and close the door. No engagement, no worry about defeating your own echo chamber. Just, hey, yeah, no, I'm good here, bye. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the value of social media and the value of a block.
Yeah. But there's two levels, you see. There's the block, which is like, we're done. And then there's the unfollow, which is, yeah, you kind of piss me off a little bit, but I still want you to be able to talk to me, you know, maybe message me, whatever.
Have access.
I'm just not going to follow what you're spouting.
And I don't want to necessarily see what
And I have a few people that I've done that to,
yeah,
that
too.
that I like, but I'm like, what you're giving in my feed, I really don't want to see there. I'm done with.
We address this in Social Media for Writers, which can be found at Amazon.com and any respectable books.
And an Audible now.
Read by ourselves. We talk about the value of blocking, especially when it comes to blocking stuff that you don't want in your feed, in your Twitter feed or your Instagram feed. I mean, there is this weird mentality, and I've seen it from a lot of the social media douchebags. We say, you got to follow everybody.
Yeah. As soon as someone follows you.
You follow back.
And people and spam bots particularly count on the fact that that's what you're supposed to do.
Follow back.
No.
If I see that in somebody's profile, maybe follow back.
Maybe in the beginning of social media when everyone was trying to build their networks, but now it's like, yeah, there's a lot of people.
But you see, the problem was that back in that era. Back in the early days of Twitter, Guy Kawasaki, this was his mojo. This was his jam. Guy Kawasaki, you can look him up online. He's one of the biggest of the social media douchebags. His thing was follow everybody.
Yeah.
And proclaim yourself an expert in something, which is why we had so many social media douchebags crop up between 2008 and 2009. And on top of that,
like weeds, man.
Like weeds that will not go away.
You can spray them with Roundup, they still won't go away.
You could pour hydrochloric acid on these things, burn the grass around them, but that little effort isn't going nowhere. So you've got all this you've got this team follow back mentality. And then on top of the team follow back mentality, you have this, oh, no. You shouldn't ever block somebody.
Freedom of speech. I guess that's the American thing. But I'm like, from New Zealand, we just walk away from shit.
And you see, that's... there we go. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm sorry, when grandma starts spouting racist stuff, we tend to wander away.
Oh,
We don't go, grandma's got the right of free speech. Grandma, you're being a jerk.
You mean when grandma's had a few and then she starts saying things like,
you want to play me hard?
Phrasing. No, I don't.
Well, then you better nut up.
Phrasing.
Because I've swallowed just about as much as I can take from you.
Hey, phrasing.
When you hear grandma talk like that, that's when you've got to leave the room because it's just getting weird.
Well, see, that's the passive-aggressive of New Zealand nature is the block and the unfollow is so sweet to our passive aggressive nature because you don't know.
But Chuck is absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you hear people say, oh, echo chamber. That's the new drop
word.
Well,
it's called your friends.
Echo chamber.
You generally, generally speaking, there might be a couple of people that are different, have different opinions on various things to you.
I will give you a perfect example of someone who has a raging different opinion from me. Kevin O'Connor, TD0013.
Uh-huh.
He is a very conservative gentleman. He is hard in his convictions and phrasing. But at the same time, if you were to ask me, do I consider Kevin a friend? I don't really consider him a friend. I consider him a good friend.
But that's a friend. That's somebody you already know offline.
Now,
so I have a higher tolerance for their shenanigans or whatever they're saying.
But Kevin's got this thing. He calls people effing Fabergé eggs. And he's absolutely right. There are these people who get very, very sensitive if you block them or if you even remotely disagree with them. Now, I have blocked some people, I admit. I have openly blocked people who have gone out of their way to make me feel miserable.
Yeah, there are those people. There are those trolls that rise up from under the bridge and just want to skewer you in the back.
They themselves might call themselves trolls.
No.
But when...
Just unpleasant people.
Yeah.
The kind of person that you wouldn't invite into your house to have a drink and a cookout.
And
so why do you need them in your feed? You don't.
No, you don't. And on top of that, it's your feed. It's you know, Chuck,
it's your house. You
Chuck
know?
Used the kitchen, the kitchen, but the kitchen as his analogy. I always use the analogy of the living room. Mm. I'm like, you know, if I want people to come in the living room, if I have that one occasional friend that props their feet up on the table once or twice, I'm like, you know, that's his jam. Okay, I'm going to roll with it. But if that friend starts to not only prop their feet up, but then start passing gas openly.
I was thinking about passing gas. Yes.
And then just whips it out and just decides to take a whiz on my coffee table.
You're
that's
probably
when I go,
going, you need to leave.
When the bad outweighs the good, that's when I say, you're out of the pool.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing anything different in social media than I'm doing in real life. Because you don't necessarily surround yourself with everyone in real life.
No, you don't surround yourself with people that all have to exactly have all exactly the same opinions and of things that you do.
Right.
However, you don't want people that are vitriolic or, you know, unnecessarily rude or just plain jerks.
Yeah. Now,
those aren't your friends, so don't have them in your feed. However, but I think there's a difference. Chuck, I'm not sure if Chuck has an author page.
He does not. He does everything from his
Facebook
account.
He does everything from his Facebook account. So he's limited to 5,000 people straight off.
Right.
So a culling through that now and then is probably a good idea.
Not necessarily a bad thing at all.
No,
here's the truth of the matter. Most of the people that I have culled out of my feed and I've blocked and I've dropped and all that stuff, they're not buying my books anyway.
No.
I know that.
We just had that thing about, friends aren't necessarily...
Previous show.
Yeah.
I do not expect everybody in my feed to be buying my books.
Uh-huh.
On that note, though, if you're going to my author page, then I know you're really interested in what my
you
mindset.
You want to find out what T. Morris is doing.
You want to find out that I've got a novella coming out. You want to know that I've got Ghost Rebellion coming out. You want to know the Gumroad links, which can all be found at ministrypeculiarcurrences.com.
Yeah,
see what I did
that.
There?
Yeah, seems...
I mean, and we've got this podcast.
So there's the person who's interested in you as a person, and then there's the person, the people, the readers, the listeners, who are interested in you as a producer, a creator.
And I'm more than okay with that. But the thing is,
I don't know about you, but on my, like on the ministry and on my personal Facebook page as an author, I haven't really had any problems, touch wood, about that sort of thing. Whereas on my personal feed, I feel like, that's my living room. That's the place where I am.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to be a jerk in there.
At this stage of the game, again, touch wood, I haven't had any trolls. I haven't had any problems. I haven't had any issues. I've had dust-ups on my personal feed. I've had more. And actually, I remember one time I got into this dust-up. I don't even know how. I'm trying to remember what the... Oh, I remember what it was. And I dropped a couple people because they were getting really in my face about it.
Mm.
It was about something in the comic book industry where a guy took a stand against the rampant sexism that is in the comic book industry.
Yeah.
And a couple of people took umbrage with it.
Uh-huh.
And it was people that
It
got really nasty, and I just stepped out of it. I just completely stepped out of the argument.
Sometimes those threads, you step out, and they still keep going.
They're still going. And I remember...
I've deleted something that got too too out of hand.
Yeah. And if it gets out of hand, then I go, okay, well then yeah, I'm deleting it too. But I remember reaching out to Chuck and saying, Chuck, this happened. I don't know how to really deal with this. And he said, T, it's your feed. You don't owe them a damn thing.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I've known that for years. Why am I so weird about it now? And I think it was because part of me was starting to buy into that mentality of...
Oh, you're creating your own echo chamber and...
No. That all of these people are, you know, they're fans.
They're important fans.
Yeah,
people.
And I don't want to dismiss them. And I don't want to block them. But then I stepped back and I thought, these people aren't buying all my books. I know for a fact a lot of these people don't buy my books.
So why am I dealing
with your BS?
Poop in my living room.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've heard people say things like, oh, yeah, I'll wait until you podcast it. And I'm like, but I'm not going to podcast it.
Well, you'll be waiting a while.
You're going to be waiting quite a while. And again, it goes back to I value my personal feed and my professional feed. And I want to keep both a decent place online.
Yeah.
But if you're going to constantly come over to my house and, you know, piss on the furniture and fart in my face,
I'm going to kick you out.
I don't want you around.
Yeah.
And that's not creating an echo chamber. It's different than if somebody comes into my house, if someone comes to our house, we're having a cookout and they're complaining about the food. If we have a cookout again, I'm not bringing that person back.
And that's not creating an echo chamber. You know, you just want to have a pleasant environment, which I think your feed should be.
Right.
It should be a place where you enjoy it. However, I will point out that I have lists on my personal feed, like I have the public, you know, hey, I just got a loot crate or whatever.
Right.
But then I sometimes have commentary that I'm like, I'm going to share this just with my friends.
Right. Well, yeah. Doc Q does that.
Yeah.
Dr. Q does that. He has lists and things like that.
Yeah. That's another way to manage it.
Of course. Now, there's nothing wrong. I do not think there is anything wrong whatsoever with managing your feed, with blocking people who are being jerks.
Unfollowing people who are just, you don't want to see that.
From moderating comments that you don't want to deal with on your podcast or on your blog. And if people say, well, then you're limiting your audience. No, you're not. You are managing your social media presence. You are managing your social media platform.
It's your space.
Yeah, it is your space. I'm going to respect your space.
Uh-huh.
I will disagree with you, but... I'm not gonna start calling you names. I'm not gonna get really uber rude. I may get angry about something, but that's not gonna be directed to you.
It better not be.
No, not you. You
stop pointing at me.
What did Chuck say? Chuck say not you. You, but the universal you.
Oh,
you know,
I am the universal me.
Well, yes, I know. Yeah. Please don't make me play the Hodor clip again.
No,
I will
don't,
do it.
Don't.
I will
cry.
It.
No,
will
don't
do
make
it.
Me cry on my microphone.
Okay. But just you know, it. You don't. This is your feed, and it's your home. It is your virtual home online. You should take care of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's that time when you're asking...
Oh, what's in the box?
Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations.
Time for a Loot Crate Looky-Loo on the shared desk.
What's in the fucking box?
You want to see it open as well as I.
I do love that drop-in. So
the question is, what is in the box?
What are in the box says?
We've got two boxes.
What are in the box says? You know, I'm looking at the waveform. Nobilis is not going to have a problem with our levels in the show at all.
We are leveled up.
We are hottest. Okay, so
we've got the regular loot crate.
We have already explained loot crate, and that's at lootcrate.com. You know,
or hashtag loot crate,
or hashtag loot crate, and. And, you know, we've explained exactly how the loot crate works and all the different themes that we've had.
Subscription crates.
Subscription crates.
But this month.
This month, the theme was power. Mm-hmm. This month, the theme was power. But also in this month, they had a special edition Aliens 30th anniversary crate.
And I won the coin toss to open it.
Tip won the coin toss to open it.
We decided that was the only way. Either that or Pinochle.
Yeah.
Thumb wrestling.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And I don't want to break T's thumb.
Yeah.
So.
I flipped the coin.
Called it.
I called it and
you lost.
It just hurt me. It just hurt me so much.
Once again, the universe smiles.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And you know what? I just realized something. I do not have in here.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have the game over clip.
Never mind.
Wow.
It's too late now. The box has been split.
Boxes have been split.
We have not opened it.
All right, so here we go.
We're opening them together, are we?
No. I'm doing mine first.
Okay, loot crate first.
You are so damn excited
about
this.
I want to open this damn box. I want to know what's in the box.
What's in the box? Woo!
I can't see a thing.
I know you can't.
You're horrible.
Oh, this is great.
Ooh, okay, so start from the top.
All right, I'm going to start from the top.
What is that?
This is a...
Is that an oven mitt?
An infinity gauntlet oven mitt.
Oh, lovely. I can use that for cooking.
That is excuse me, I'm using this for grilling.
Don't you get it dirty.
Thanos, eat your heart out. Oh, that is so cool. Wow.
Oh, that's a cute one. I like that.
That's very,
it's practical
very cool.
And fun.
Yeah. Wow.
So what are you going to say when you put on your infinity glove?
Fine. I'll do it myself.
You mean
oh, that's
grill.
Really cool. Yes, I'm going to grill, as
I
usually
do. Is it thick enough to prevent your poor little hand?
Yeah, it doesn't feel that thick, but it's still a very nice glove. Still
okay,
nice
what
glove.
Else we got in there?
Okay, I saw this one earlier.
Uh-huh.
It's the Q-Fig.
What's a Q-Fig?
Avengers Age of Ultron. It's the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, that's cool. Does he light up or something? Or is
I don't think he lights up. He's not like the... he is not like... the Deadpool where it looks like he lights up. I think it's made by the same people who did the Deadpool.
Oh, okay. I like the Hulk.
Yeah, and I like the way they do it.
He's like bursting out of some rocks.
No,
right?
he's stomping.
He's stomping something.
He's smashing.
Okay.
The guys at Q-Fig do the same thing.
Why don't you show it to the?
They can see it.
Okay.
But I was just saying the Q-Fig people do figurines the same way that the same way you would see for the dearly departed Disney Infinity.
Uh-huh.
They put a lot of detail in there.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's
okay,
cool.
Now,
that's cool.
What do we got here? This looks like...
What is that?
What is this?
It's a dragon something.
Oh, it's this might be the Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, this is the Dragon Ball Z thing. This may be the fandom that we don't have. I don't know if that's a... I'm going to check the book.
I like the dragon.
Power. There's the book. And what did they say here? There's Oh, that's cool. They actually explain the Infinity Gems.
Oh,
in the book.
Okay, cool. So when you're grilling, you know which ones.
I'll know which one.
Which powers?
Okay,
you...
and this is a this is a plush keychain. This is a plush keychain from Dragon
that
Ball Z.
That might go into our giveaway loot box.
This is going to the giveaway loot box because neither one
it's
of us
cute.
Watched Dragon Ball Z. Yeah,
but we don't watch Dragon Ball Z, so not our fandom in the box.
Here we go.
Oh, here's the shirt. What's
here's
the shirt?
The t-shirt.
Oh,
I think the t-shirt might belong to you because I believe the t-shirt might be World of Warcraft. It is.
Oh,
the t-shirt is World
see.
Of Warcraft. I never played WoW, but you did.
Oh,
so.
Yes, but then it became my enemy. So I'll think about
but
that one.
But it's a beautiful shirt.
They're always nice shirts.
Well,
they do
no,
good shirts.
The Star Trek one, kind of thin.
Was it?
The Star Trek
well,
Mirror Mirror one
they,
was kind of thin.
They use different suppliers.
They use different vendors. And so. This one is this one's quite nice.
Okay.
This one's quite nice. Take a look at that. Take a look at that. That's very cool. Have you got it?
I got it.
Okay. So the t-shirt, let me just check the...
The t-shirt
so,
has got like a...
It's got the silhouette of the
yeah,
orc.
Yeah, it's the orc and the one played by the Viking guy.
Right. That is the that's the World of Warcraft and
because the movie's t-shirt. Coming soon, right?
It's exactly what it is. They got the Hulk backstory in the guide. They're not saying who the vendor of the shirt is, which kind of surprises me. Unless it's on.
It might be on the tag.
Might be on the tag or another place.
The vendor is Loot Crate.
Could be.
So that no, it's what it says. So they
I
got
mean,
somebody
that's what I'm
to
saying.
Produce
it them. Could, and then we have the pin.
What's
and
the pin?
The pin. I remember somebody said that the pin had a story behind it, but it's actually quite cool. I'm not sure.
Well, their pins have been pretty good. I mean, what number is this? Is this number four?
This is our fourth. No. Let's see, dead, and then let's see, dead, quest versus yeah. This is box number four.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
And let me see if I can find something on the pin. Oh, first off, I wanted to see, did I make the looters? I did not make the looters. And I made this really cool, I took this really cool picture of me using the ice mold.
Well, you know what? You can get your infinity gauntlet
and
do
I'll
some
grill.
Pitchings.
There you go. That's what I would do. I can't find
maybe with like
a pin.
Like a slice of meat like raised
can't
up an eye.
Can't find anything on the pin.
Okay, well, can I open this box?
All right, hang on.
Is that it?
That is it
for the power box.
So here's the question. Okay, so are we are you keeping or are we giving?
I'll think about that shirt. Because I love World of Warcraft, but as a writer, I had to put it aside.
Yeah, you did.
So,
you did.
But I do like the Hulk. That's
all right.
Very
nice. Now
here we go. Oh, if only we had some
pass
aliens.
Over the Hulk. Are you gonna? Actually, the Hulk can stay over there. That should be yours.
I'm gonna keep the Hulk over.
You keep
here.
The Hulk.
Okay, it's an oddly shaped loot crate. It's not square, which
no,
I hope
okay.
means.
Okay, some things about that. Hold on. some things.
I'm not
about
holding
it.
First, on.
No, hold on. First off, one.
Oh yeah, I thought that might be what it is.
It's the hyper. It's the hypersleep chamber.
No, it's not. It's the. It's the.
Oh, it's. Is it the carrier?
The transport.
Yeah. That Ripley drove. Exactly.
Okay.
Now the typeface. The typeface for 30th anniversary edition. That was the typeface for Mother. Uh-huh. In the original Alien.
So this box, you could fold it outside,
inside out. All the boxes you can do that with.
And this one would be the transport that Ripley drove around. Okay, so what do we got? Let's start with the T-shirt first.
Yeah, oh yeah, I want to see the T-shirt.
So on the T-shirt, oh nice. Now, do you get that one?
It's
the bug stomper. Now, if you're very careful, if you know your aliens, you know that the dropship had...
Well, that's the unit symbol. They call themselves the bug stompers.
But yes, you only briefly see it in
very
the movies.
Briefly.
It's on the
dropship. Oh, that is drop dead sexy. We endanger species.
Yeah, it's very cool. Oh my gosh, there's a very cute, if you can say cute to any alien, a very cute exclusive Titan vinyl figure. It's it's green and terrifying looking.
But it's so cute. It's so cool.
Ooh, look at this.
How much you want to bet it glows in the dark?
Now, this is the Dark Horse original comic series 30th anniversary edition.
Oh, that is sexy.
And it's heavy. It's very, very heavy. And it's got like a gilt blue edge.
Oh, nice.
I don't think any of these are going in the loot crate box.
No, no, and oh, hell
oh,
no.
We're still going. We're still going.
Wow, that's...
Now we've got. Oh no!
Now keep in mind when you do this stuff, these special crates. These are extra.
How much was this extra crate?
This was something like $30.
Yeah, but it looks pretty cool.
This alone is $30.
Yeah, that.
These two things alone would be $30.
Then you got the T-shirt, and then you've got your own alien LV-426 cage-free eggs. They glow in the dark, and they're not for human consumption. Contains four eggs and two face huggers. I guess you get to find out which one is the face huggers.
Oh,
and
that's
it's put
brilliant.
In a very cute looking, like a replica egg container that you might find in your grocery store. If you find one in your grocery store, run away. Run away real, real quick.
Expires June 3rd, 2022.
So they're probably still good. They're probably still good. What is
Wait, they're candy. I think they're... No, they're not candy. They can't be candy.
So then this looks like a Japanese... Look at this. Aliens... Japanese?
Ooh. Oh, wow.
So this there's also some bits to help you make your
You basically would hang this up in the office.
You can hang that up in the office. So then it's also got the
That's a metal sign.
Weyland-Yutani Corp Bioweapons Division. This is the 30th anniversary crate. 1986, darling. We're old. I watched this movie the hell out of this movie as a university student. In 86, Ripley is awakened from decades-long hypersleep. She discovers that the planet where her crew encountered the hostile alien species has been lost and colonized. When a contact with the settlers is lost, Ripley joins the USCM rescue team. This time it's war. Mm. So what is in here is the Dark Horse Aliens 30th Anniversary Edition hardcover, a bug stomper t-shirt, Aliens egg 4-pack, Aliens 6x5 Xenomorph variant figure, and an Aliens metal print, which is the one with the
That's
Japanese...
That's the metal print, yeah. Very cool.
And it's got this very cool loot crate box that I'm not quite sure what to do with except drive around and make, well, Marines, we are leaving.
Drake, we are leaving. Yep. Hang on a minute. I bet. You know what I should have done when we were opening this?
Yeah, you should have had some aliens quotes.
Wait, I should have had this. I should have had this playing right here. Hold on. Should have had this playing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what did you think of the crates today? These two crates.
Game over, man. Game over. Oh, that's great. We just opened up two loot crates. We're some pretty shit now. What are we going to do?
I'm going to have an egg. Pass me over those eggs, man. I'm going to open up an egg. Yeah, that was a cool crate.
I forgot how much I
love this bug stomper t-shirt. I think we're going to have a fight over this one.
We're going to wrestle over that. So, So real quick, I think it's safe to say none of this stuff is going in the giveaway box.
I think there's only
box.
One thing, is that Dragon Ball Z plush.
So we're going to hang on to that World of Warcraft. I can work out in that t-shirt. They make good t-shirts.
The t-shirts are good. This t-shirt here, the alien one, is from Gildan.
Wow.
Soft style.
You know, we got to keep an eye out for these special, like, commemorative 30th anniversaries.
It's very cool.
Really, really nice.
So that's a pretty good haul, really, for the last month, both of them. And the alien stuff, of course, we knew was... It's ours. It was going to be great.
It was going to be great.
Yeah. That is so cool, the bug stomper. We endanger species.
Three simple words.
It's not spam.
Hey, pardon me for interrupting.
You've got mail.
Woo-hoo! Wow, this was a haul. Man, I mean...
It was a good month. It was a good month.
Very good month. But we definitely have to keep an eye out for the commemorative crates. Those are astounding.
Yeah.
Okay, so, wow, we have got... A lot of voicemail.
Oh, we're drowning in.
A lot of feedback.
Feedback. I think feedback's fine.
It's feedback. It's voicemail. It's all kinds of stuff. So why don't we kick it off with voicemail?
All right. Play.
All right. Let's play this from dear friend Nobilis Reed.
Hey T, hey Pips. I'm calling in on your topic of friends and family buying your books.
That was show 56.
I wanted to say that most of the time, it is not really a good idea to expect that people are going to do that. The people you want are people who like your work, not people who like you.
Right.
However, I can think of one situation where you would expect friends and family to buy your books. And that's if you're doing a kind of vanity biography of some recently departed member of the family. If you've produced probably with the cooperation with the rest of the family, something printed, you might consider, you know, putting it up for sale rather than buying a bunch and handing them out if you weren't sure who wanted to actually own a physical copy, that sort of thing.
I would definitely ask them how many they want.
There are reasons for wanting to do it something like that when it's something of family interest. But aside from that, marketing to friends and family is, generally speaking, bad form.
Yeah. Well,
ta-ta,
bye.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Nobilis.
The nice thing is Lulu, I have discovered, does secret printings. You don't have to make them available to anybody.
So does CreateSpace do that too?
No.
Oh, okay.
You have to choose one distribution channel.
So okay.
You can make it a run that no one's ever going to find. But
there is that. There is that.
So if you're going to do something like that, I would suggest Lulu.
Right. And I mean that, and he is absolutely right. If you're doing like a special thing, like if you're doing a memoir and you want to have it, you know, just for family and friends, if you're doing a special scrapbook and you want it to look really uber professional or something like that, and you want to make multiple copies, even to some extent, yearbooks.
Yeah.
Yearbooks are the same thing. But the difference is, I guess, yearbooks would be one of those things where, you know, the school is actually making money off them. But he's absolutely right. If you're doing something like that, then yeah, you would expect family and friends.
But otherwise, no.
No. No.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, nah.
What else you got?
Well, I got this from Nick Kelly.
Hey, so as a longtime fan of the Shared Desk podcast and listening to it today and watching the finale of Castle and being really disappointed
because I heard that was a bunch
of other network TV finales in the last couple of years, I need to ask this question, and you know who this is. You guys have one more book planned for the ministry, right? So how
sold
on that finale are you? And are you committed to it? And do you really think that that's the end of the end of the end for those agents? I'd love to hear that on a future podcast.
Well, this future podcast.
Thank you, Nick. It's the Once in Future podcast. Like I said, I'm glad I'm drinking moonshine with this question because that's a pretty good...
It is sad.
You know, before we get into that,
yeah.
Best series finale, worst series finale. What do you think?
Well, some people would say Battlestar Galactica, but I actually kind of enjoyed the end of that.
That was your favorite?
I don't know if it was. I don't want to say it was my favorite. I wouldn't say it was my worst.
What was your worst?
Well, How I Met Your Mother was terrible.
Oh, you actually saw the finale of How I Met Your Mother?
I did.
Wow. I heard they really dropped the ball on that.
Yeah,
I remember
they kind
reading
of twisted themselves into various forms to get
the happy ending.
No. What happened was they had an idea. This is feeds into Nick's thing.
Yeah.
They had an idea of how the end was going to be. But in the course of the series, the two characters that the audience wanted to be together.
Yeah.
Came about.
Right.
And so they twisted themselves into a knot at the end to try and get those two characters together,
right,
which involved killing the mother. Spoiler alert.
Jeez. I remember reading about that, just going, are you kidding
me? Yeah. What about you? Have you got any good, good bads?
My favorite. And this is, I'm finding out the further you get away from that finale, mm-hmm. a lot of people didn't care for the finale, but I thought, you know what? If you're dealing with time travel and you're dealing with being true to a character,
mm-hmm.
the finale of Quantum Leap.
Oh yeah, how did that end?
Well, the way it ended.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it by now. But the finale of Quantum Leap ended where Sam Beckett leaps, but where he leaps is a bar, and they can't find him. They don't know where he is. He winds up in a bar. Mm. He looks in the mirror and he sees himself. And in the bar,
involve God?
And it involves God.
Yeah, I do.
God's the bartender. And the guy and a lot of people didn't care for it, but you know, I thought it was a beautiful little thing because Sam says that he wants to go home. He
yeah.
tells God that. And God goes, it's okay to take a sabbatical, but think about it. What was the whole point of Project Quantum Leap? It was to help people. And do you realize that but I didn't help anybody. He said, I helped people one at a time. He goes, and those lives touched other lives, and those lives touched other lives. And you realize that to be true to his character, Sam Beckett, the reason why Sam, and he said, God said to Sam, you could have gone home at any time, but it was your nature that kept you going through. And it was very touching.
It's a very touching.
I think
to me, a good ending has to be touching.
Yeah.
And it has to be true to
the character,
the characters yeah. and the series.
And it was very, and he said he wanted to do one more thing. They wanted to do one more thing. And he goes back and he rights the wrong that haunted Al's life the whole time involving his wife,
uh-huh.
who thought he was dead in Vietnam, and he wasn't. And the last placard still gives me chills. It's where he just says, Sam Beckett never went home.
Uh-huh. He kept leaping.
He kept leaping, you know, one person at a time changing the world because that's what he wanted to
do. Well, I think that's a nice thing to say.
I thought
about
it was
people.
Very true. Yeah.
But have you had any bad ones?
Yeah. Yeah. I think probably one of the worst finales was Magnum PI.
I can't remember how that ended.
I blocked it out. I mean, I remember being
Did
a huge
he die?
Fan. No, it just kind of just ended. And it was really ambiguous.
Maybe they didn't know that the series was going to end.
You know, whatever it was, I mean, but that's the one that was the one where I just could not. I was like, "What the hell was that?" That was kind of the way I felt at the end. What the hell was that? The other one I thought was really disappointing was Highlander. Highlander just had him.
I gave up. See, I give up on series if they run too long.
Well, Highlander.
Probably
why
I haven't seen too many endings.
I didn't think Highlander ran too long.
Yeah.
But I do know there were certain shows that I did clock out of, and people were saying, ooh, it's the finale of The X-Files. Are you going to watch it? And I was like, no. Because I checked out long before.
I didn't watch that either, no.
I checked out of that one. I checked out of MASH.
So what about Nick asked about ours.
Nick asked about ours, and here's the thing. I'm sold on it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sold on it.
This is the way I want to.
Unless something freaking amazing happens to change our mind, I think it's pretty much the...
We know
how it's going to end.
We know where we want to go.
We've kind of known for quite a few books.
We've known for at least four or five books.
Yeah.
And
it's sort of developed and firmed up on the way.
Yeah.
But as for the end of the end of the end.
Oh, that's, you know, that's a tall order, Mr. Kelly.
See, I did the books of the order, and I was like, I'm done. I've written these books.
Yeah, I'm done.
The character is done. Everything's
Famous
done.
Famous last words.
And then after like a year, maybe 18 months, I was like,
the itch.
I was like, I missed that world. So, and besides, it's not the end because we're doing a YA series around Verity Fitzroy and the prequel to The Ministry 7.
Yeah, there's that one.
And we have other ideas as well.
We've tossed around, get off the board, Kat.
Oh my gosh, the cat just literally walked across the board.
He tried to
in mid-record.
Yeah, that's his way of going,
He wants to be
attention.
Involved. He wants to be involved
yes,
so badly.
I know. So anyway... No, I actually have pictured, I've pictured some characters in the diesel punk future.
Mm-hmm.
I've pictured
the ministry into the diesel punk.
Yeah, I mean, I've pictured that. I've pictured that the ministry is still around because, as you have seen in Little Red Flying Hood,
yeah, it's still around.
It is mentioned.
Strange, the unusual, the bizarre does not finish.
No, it doesn't.
When Eliza and Wellington do whatever they do,
but Eliza and Wellington. this chapter of their
is going to close
of their lives is going
to
close.
Doesn't mean that we'll never come back to see them.
But I'm pretty sold on the ending. I am sold on the ending. I know this is where, and it's not like
hopefully it'll be a satisfying ending.
It'll be a satisfying.
I think
ending.
It's true to the characters.
That's the important thing. It is true to the characters, and we're not pulling it out of our butts because we have been planting
the seeds. And you cannot buy
seeds.
A drink and find out before
nope.
May next year.
Nope. All the nope.
So yeah. So short answer. Yes, we've always had in mind, and I generally speaking, I always have in mind. Like with the Geist and Books of the Order, I knew exactly where they were, all three of them were going to end up. So I just like to travel that way.
Very cool.
But no, not, okay. The ministry will not end.
Okay, from Facebook.
Ooh, Book of Face.
From the Book of Face, Maria Meyerbeck. I'm sorry, Maria.
Maria, hello.
Hi, Maria. I you know what?
He butchered my name, so.
No, I finished off the butterscotch. I'm starting to feel it. Got a quick writerly question for you.
Okay, far right.
I'm working on a new novel, congratulations, and using Word. But uh-huh. I'm having trouble keeping all my notes straight and easily accessed.
Uh-huh.
Is there an app that's cheaper than Scrivener that's good for keeping notes organized and at my fingertips?
I've heard Evernote. People use Evernote.
Yeah.
I have never used it myself. I know. Would have to...
Hutch uses Evernote.
Yeah. And I hear it. That Evernote can go from different program to different program. And I think Piper J. Drake uses it as well.
I think so.
And it syncs between different programs. I'm not sure how expensive it is.
If I remember correctly.
Scrivener's about what, 30 bucks, 40
bucks? I thought
bucks?
Scrivener was about 30 bucks.
Something
yeah,
like that.
That's what I thought. And I also remember that Evernote they have an app. And I know that.
Yeah, I think that's probably an advantage to Scrivener that you can, like if you're on the move, you can just.
Don't get me started on the Scrivener app. I have one. I
have never used the Scrivener app.
No, I'm saying the
they don't
app,
have one.
That it has been in limbo.
Yeah.
For all
well,
this
that's the
time.
That's the trouble with open source software. Obviously, especially when it's been developed by one or maybe a couple of guys at the most.
So I'm looking at Evernote, and actually Evernote says they have a basic plan, and that's free.
Okay.
60 megabytes of new uploads per month. Then you have $25 a year.
Wow, that's pretty cheap.
That's cheap as chips. And that's 1 gigabyte of new uploads per month. And then you got all the different features. And then you have the premium.
Mm-hmm.
That's $50 a year. A year. So,
and
so
you can
50,
and you can
that's
use it,
less than $5 a month.
And you can use it for more than just writing as well, as far as the
10 gigabytes of new uploads per month. You can.
That's pretty high test, though, so you might not need
search in Office Docs. I mean, it's quite honestly, I don't see why you couldn't just go premium. Because you know that's $50. That's less than $5 a month.
That's still, but it's more expensive than Scrivener.
Yeah, it is more expensive than Scrivener.
So I don't know. It's up to you. If we have any people listening to us that have any suggestions for Maria,
well, there's 703-791-1701.
Or just drop us a comment at the end of the blog post.
Yeah, drop us an end of the comment of this blog post. You can also do t@tmorris.com and
pip@pjballantine.com.
Make sure you put in the header shared desk and then something like comment
something. What else you got?
Michael Spence.
Hello, Michael.
Michael Spence, whose name happens to appear in the acknowledgments of the Ghost
Rebellion. Oh, you spoiled it for him. I hope he has read that already.
I hope he has too. If not, he's got something to look forward to. Selling books at a convention such as Balticon.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to prepare to take credit cards? If so, then have you folks found that difficult?
No.
I found it difficult 10 years ago.
Oh, here we go with the rant.
Back in my day.
With the zip-zap machines.
With the zip-zap machines.
Which are heavy. They're made about 5-10 pounds.
God rest his soul. Patrick Holyfield carried my backpack with that mother effer inside.
That man was a saint.
He really was. And,
I wouldn't have done that shit.
Miss you, PG. but yeah, the... yeah, I would say it was a real hassle.
Now it's not.
No, it is not.
It's
Square is your friend.
Square, there's another one that PayPal does. It's like a little triangle.
It's a triangle.
I mean, all you need is a phone.
If you've got phone and Wi-Fi,
if
you've
got
good.
Phone and some sort of connectivity, I'd get a stylus as well because sometimes people write it with their finger.
Yeah.
But that's really, and yes, you should have credit cards because people expect it these days and because it's so simple. So yes, you should.
I mean, I'm looking at the chip reader right now.
It doesn't cost anything much. I think they give your first.
Wow. They've got a lot. Wow. Okay, so they've got the MagStripe reader, which is free.
Yeah.
You sign up for their account.
You can pick them up in Apple stores, I think. Yeah.
But here's the new one, and this one is awfully tempting for us.
Oh, we've already got ours covered, I'm afraid.
No. For $50, a contactless and chip reader.
We've got one of those.
We do?
We do. We upgraded last year.
You didn't tell me about that.
Sorry, it never came up.
Well,
oh,
there we go.
But yes.
We got a new toy!
We have. No, it's sitting in there. We haven't used it yet because just after Steam
Michael,
Unlimited.
Honestly, yes.
Yes, you do. People expect it. It's easy. You don't have to mess around with
change.
It's a
piece of cake. It's a piece of cake now. Yeah.
Yeah, so do that.
And so there's that. From the blog. We've got comments from the blog.
Woo-hoo!
This is very cool. This was from May 1st, 2016. We forgot about this, and I came back to it, and I was like, oh, yeah, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
And I think this is the Susan from our boot camp.
Oh,
with
okay.
With the blue hair.
Oh, cool.
And
what has she asked?
She doesn't ask us anything. She just basically says, I loved hearing your recap of the RT 2016 convention, especially the boot camp. I had no idea that the two of you were learning things too, or that you and Linnea were not BFFs from way back.
Nope. Well, we were from Sunday. When we arrived on Monday, we were BFFs from Sunday.
The class was amazing, the convention awesome, and the two of you adorable.
Oh, we're adorbs.
Bordering on adorkable,
oh,
which is definitely a good thing.
I don't know. Is that a good thing? Let's assume it is.
Yeah. And finally, and this one, this is very cool. I cannot stress to you how incredibly cool this is.
Quick, I'm on pins and needles.
The comment is from Alex Berger. Does that name ring any
bells?
Oh,
he was the one that wrote the article
that we read in the last
that
show.
That we read and we riffed off.
And we talked off. He says, that was fantastic.
Oh, he liked
it. Absolutely loved the added insight you had to share on the topics outlined in the post. Also, thank you for your kind and complimentary words. They were wonderfully flattering and made my evening while giving me a few additional points to think and reflect on. Out of curiosity, did you both do the pre-roll for the Op Travelers intro?
Yes,
your
we
voices
did.
Sound very familiar.
Yes,
yeah.
We did.
We are dear friends of Sheila D. and Evo.
And they asked us to do it, and we certainly obliged.
Yep. And you know, Pip talks about me butchering her name. Trust me, Maria, Pip, I butchered Evo's name. I called him Avo the first time I
Avo?
Met him.
Avo? How do you get Avo from E-V-O?
E short E-V-O. Avo. It was terrible.
Jeez.
A mess. Of course, tonight I can blame the
yeah,
moonshine,
but back then,
I couldn't do it.
Okay, so what else we got? Is that's the end of our
feedback? That's the wrap-up of the voicemail, and would you believe it? We still have 10 minutes before we hit an hour. I honestly thought we were going to go long.
Well,
I thought we were
you know,
go long, but
this show was supposed to be half an hour. So I'm just saying.
But so it went long.
When we first conceived the idea, it was half an hour.
Oh, wait a minute. I just realized something. I can't trust this clock because there's a lot of gaps that I'm going to be cutting out.
That's
so
right.
Actually,
so, hey, we could be on time.
We made this tight. We made this show nice and tight.
So let's talk about what we're doing.
Don't worry. I know. You're looking at the board behind
me.
There's
nothing on the board.
Exactly. Because
we wiped it down.
Because we wiped it down and because I kept saying, we need to come down here and start filling this board. And you.
Well, we've got deadlines and various other stuff, but we haven't got our events. But you have access to our calendar.
Which is
so
right in front of me.
What have we got?
Well, starting actually June 10th, running till the 6th of November, is Steampunk U at the AACA Museum.
We're in a museum!
We're in a museum.
We're so old, we're in a museum.
That's in conjunction with the Smithsonian Institution.
Oh, we're in a Smithsonian? Jeez.
Now the exhibit will be running from the 10th of June to the 6th of November in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We have on our respective appearances pages, special event TBA. Mm-hmm. We're going to do something this summer. Not sure what.
We will let you know.
It will probably involve tea. It will probably involve
dressing up.
It will probably involve the arm. It'll probably involve, any of these steampunk events are going to involve the arm. We also have just booked. We got confirmation for it. I'm very excited about this. We just booked Escape Velocity.
Mm-hmm. And that's the...
That is in conjunction with the Museum of Science Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Which is extremely cool.
Now that's a traveling exhibit, but they are looking for
they're looking for
a permanent
home.
Space in DC
home.
To become a permanent place.
The event is at the National Harbor in Maryland.
It's at the Gaylord, right?
It's at the Gaylord Convention Center.
Which is beautiful.
Beautiful. Same place where MAGFest was, and we're going back there. 1st through the 3rd of July.
Yay.
We are speaking on the 2nd and 3rd.
Are we talking about steampunk?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the 2nd, you and I are attending a panel on steampunk and anime, comics, and film.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably going to be working in the literature as well, kind of subversively in there as well. And I'm very excited. on the 3rd, on Sunday, I'm going to be giving the presentation the big score.
You've been able to use that in a variety of different places.
I love that presentation.
You've been able to tweak it in various directions.
And I'm going
to
tweak it again. I love
people,
this.
People love the, and people seem to love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Aspect.
If it's the same age group as MAGFest, I have a feeling it's going to be the same.
I feel
kind
it
of...
might skew slightly older.
You think?
I'm thinking.
Hmm. Well, it's going to be, well, but you,
it'll be interesting. We've never seen.
No.
This is the first one.
This is the first one. And on top of that, the thing that I'm also curious about with Escape Velocity is I haven't seen them at any of the literary cons. I've only seen them at events like MAGFest.
But,
and yet they're the Museum of Science Fiction.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of, they've got a video that shows like a walkthrough of what they're planning to do.
Yeah.
And it's writers.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's our people.
So it's our people. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of event Escape Velocity is.
Mm-hmm.
But we are going to be there. Keep an eye out for us. And we're very excited about that. That's on the 1st to 3rd of July. And then the 24th to the 22nd of July, we're going to be at Motor City SteamCon.
Back
in
to Detroit.
Back to Detroit. Looking forward to that. And then we have nothing on the books between July and October. That is subject to change because we're kicking around some ideas. Steampunk Scheherazade. And then we got Steampunk Unlimited, 14th to the 16th of October in Strasburg, Pennsylvania.
Looking forward to that. Getting
always
back to the trains.
And then I go back to my old stomping roots, but not in Renfair gear this time.
Oh,
I'm
going to
be steampunked out at the Maryland Renaissance Festival.
One day only.
22nd of October in Crownsville, Maryland. That is what we've got planned. But you know what? If you have an event that you want us to come to, you know, talk to the organizers. Have them contact us. That's t@tmorris.com. It's
pip@pjballantine.com.
You can also find us on Twitter @tmonster or
Philippa Jane.
You can also find me, brace yourselves, on Snapchat.
Ooh.
@TheTMonster.
Venturing into Utes territory.
I'm in the Utes territory now, yeah. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Instagram.
The Tumbles.
You can find us on the Tumbles.
The Pinterests.
And then, of course, you can find us at tmorris.com.
Oldschooling at pjballantine.com. And, of course, ministryofpeculiarrecurrences.com, where you can find the link to pre-order The Ghost Rebellion if you're not a backer.
And as you all know, the Share Desk is a non-commercial, no-derivative, share-alike 3.0 United States license. You can find out more about that at creativecommons.org. And remember, that voicemail line, 703-791-1701. Wow, this has been a jam-packed show. Woo-hoo! Felt like it flew by, but I think we're good. So until next time, enjoy the ride.
I'll catch you later. I'm going to go play with this egg.